Welcome to Signs of Life, exploring survival of consciousness, brought to you by the Forever Family Foundation on the web at www.foreverfamilyfoundation.org.
I can feel you like an ocean that won't seem to let me go.
Good evening and welcome to The Gathering, brought to you by Forever Family Foundation on Signs of Life Radio. I'm Bob Ginsberg, and as usual with The Gathering, we're joined by Tom and Melissa Gould, Fran Ginsberg, and a special guest sitting in tonight, Dr. Jeff Kane. So welcome, Jeff.
Pleasure to be here, Bob.
And tonight's topic is going to be a little different. The main topic is receiving from a higher source, and we're going to be talking about, we know that people can get communication, but what does it really mean, and is it coming from a higher source, and what do we do with the information when we get it? So before we dive into that, we're going to ask Fran to get us caught up in some foundation business, and then we'll be on our way.
Okay, well, the first thing I want to do is to remind everybody that they can financially support the work of Forever Family Foundation, a 100% not-for-profit organization, without sending us a single pretty penny. When shopping on the Internet, think of us before you go to Amazon.com, and instead, go to ForeverFamilyFoundation.org and use the Amazon link to get to Amazon. Don't worry, there's a link on every page of our new website. And if you add that one simple step to your shopping, a dollar percentage of everything that goes into your shopping cart will generate a donation from Amazon to us. And what if you don't shop on Amazon? Not a problem. There is another way to be certain that almost all your website shopping produces a donation to Forever Family Foundation without you having to send us anything. Visit iGive.com. Do it now. Sign up with iGive. It's free. Name Forever Family Foundation as the charity of your choice, and just like with Amazon, a portion of your spending results in a donation to Forever Family Foundation. Once you set it up, each time you shop on the Internet, iGive.com will automatically send us a donation when you shop in one of their more than 1,400 online stores that you are already shopping in, like Red Envelope, Best Western, DSW, Sony. And the one last thing, you'll need a credit card to shop online. So if you don't already have one or are in need of another, go to ForeverFamilyFoundation.org and apply for the Visa credit card. Visa will make a donation to us for each card that's taken out, and each time the card is used, a portion of that charge is donated back to Forever Family Foundation. So please take a few moments when you shop to show us that you care. Our Holiday of the Earth raffle is up and ready for future winners to get those tickets. The link is available on our brand new website, and please be generous as these two raffles each year help us fund our very basic of programs, including this new website. In this raffle, you can win one or more one-hour phone readings with one of our certified mediums, Neil Zapowski, Renee Buck, Renata Santarelli, Lee Ashley, or Bobby Allison. It's only $5 a chance. Two of our annual December Holidays Past events had to be rescheduled. Holidays Past in Pompton Lakes is set for March 22nd, and the Oceanside Holidays Past is rescheduled for February 28th. There are still a few seats available. Our annual grief retreat is set for the weekend of July 25th to 27th, back at the wonderful guest house in Chester, Connecticut. We've also added on one day just for parents who have lost children. Details continue to develop, but the event is up and running for those who do not want to miss out on this meaningful experience. And if you are a business interested in advertising on our show, please contact us at radio@foreverfamilyfoundation.org or call the office at 631-425-7707. Okay, Bob.
Okay. And I should mention that tonight's show is sponsored by L&R Productions. You can find them on the web at lnrproductions.com. And the number here, in case you'd like to join in, is 1-888-627-6008. So we're talking about spirit communication. We're talking about communicating with the dead, something that a subject that's not foreign to this show, certainly. And we know that people can communicate in all sorts of ways, through meditative states, altered states of consciousness, deathbed visions, near-death experiences, through mediumship. And we also know that a lot of people, and I know everybody at this table has probably heard it from friends or clergy, that, well, you know, maybe we're not meant to communicate with the dead, that there's a barrier, and that barrier was put there purposefully by a creator, and we shouldn't be messing around with that. So, but clearly we do get communication. So I guess the question would be, are we meant to bridge that gap? Are we meant to bridge that divide? Who has thoughts on that?
I'll share a few. When you talk about a divide between the physical world and the spiritual world, it would be equally valid to talk about the divide between us as individuals, and that we often see ourselves as separate and don't understand that we are connected. So the notion of a divide is not strictly between the spiritual world and the physical, but it is between our individual consciousness of our own existence and the consciousness which extends beyond ours. So you might think of us as separate, but in fact we are all connected. And one of the great tasks that I believe that we have in this world is to strive of our own, to strive in a way where we develop within ourselves the capacity to see the unity that's here on Earth, not only with the spiritual world that we think of as separate.
Good point.
I agree, yeah.
Yeah, and I don't see that there really is a divide. It's just that we can't see the spirit, but they're right around us. The one thing I've learned seeing and dealing with what we do here at the Foundation is that very fact that if there is no over there or up there or down there, it's just all around, and it's just a different level of vibration. So, and Jeff said it perfectly, that we are connected. Everything is connected. So I think that communication with what you're connected to anyway is not a bad thing.
Yeah, and I think that, you know, sometimes we think of spirit communication as distinct and well defined, but lots of times it's subtle and we're getting information and the people in spirit are trying to help us desperately, but we just don't quite get it, or they are successful in getting the information to us, and in our egotistical ways, we just figured, well, that's our own creativity and our own imagination.
Exactly.
And one of the books we listed was Rudolf Steiner, Staying Connected. And one of the quotes that he put in the book was, we should realize that in much of what we do, the dead are working. You know, so... Mm-hmm. Which really makes that point is that so many times I think if there is no divide and that connection really still exists, how do we decipher? You know, how do we show gratitude if we can't even acknowledge the fact or the possibility that that we have help?
Well, let's just think about ourselves in very direct and experiential way. We can think of ourselves as physical beings, and in some respects think of ourselves as not only physical beings, but spiritual. So the one way I would suggest that we think of ourselves as spiritual beings who are human rather than human beings who are spiritual. And what I mean by that is that the difference between the dead and us is that we have bodies, but we both share the world of spirit. We as living in physical bodies, they as living outside or beyond physical existence. So the notion that there is a divide really gets down to the fact that we live so much in the physical or the physicality of our existence. And again, very, very simple. When you go out to a grocery store, and you go to check out your food, someone checks it out for you, do you look up and greet that person and meet that person as you would wish to be greeted yourself? Or is that person seen as someone who is performing a role or a function for you? And so often, the spiritual being who's standing right in front of us is not recognized for the beauty and wonder that is that person. And so it's not only that we fail to see the spiritual world unclothed, we don't see it when it is clothed in the physical world. It's right here for us always, but we're so busy with the physical that we often miss it.
Fabulous explanation. I love it.
Yeah, I like that one too. I think he's plagiarizing from Steiner
myself. No, it's actually my mother taught me one.
Melissa, have you ever been in a situation where you said, you know, where did that come from?
Like, a lot. And I think it's just an automatic, it comes so naturally. And then later, it's after the fact, like, how did I come up with that? You know, was that me? Mm-hmm. And I know Tom feels that way with his music all the time.
Absolutely. Uh-oh, I'm getting the signal here.
finish it.
Well, I'm currently reading a book called The Untethered Soul, and the first part of the book talks about the voices in your head, how there's always that one voice that is so critical of everything you do and that sort of thing. And the book talks about removing yourself from that voice because that's not really you. And what is you is what's inside, and that you should be more of an observer than a participant in what that voice is saying. And, of course, I don't know if I'm speaking only for myself, but often there's arguments going on in my head. You know, when one voice says something and the other says, yeah, well, what about this? And
that's,
you're back
taking your medication again?
The problem is when you're saying that out loud and there are people around you.
Exactly. Well, the point being is, and this book's telling you that neither of those are really me, so some of these voices could actually be spirit trying to communicate with you, putting something in your head, saying, hey, look at something this way. So I think that there is communication going on, as Bob mentioned earlier, that we just choose to ignore or assume it's us in some way.
Right, and spirit or your higher self. We'll talk more about that. We're going to go to a break. We come back, we're going to be talking more about the spirit world and how we are connected. So stay with us, and we'll be back in a few.
Has your marketing pitch been missing the strike zone? Maybe you need a new player to help your marketing efforts. At LNRProductions.com, you'll find a team that can give your broadcast advertising the winning edge. LNR Productions has produced award-winning jingles, radio and television commercials for many businesses just like yours. Radio and television advertising work, but you need the right game plan. Make sure you're getting the most out of your ad every time it airs. www.LNRProductions.com. We'll throw strikes for your business every time.
Hello, my name's Piero Calvi Parisetti, MD. I invite you to discover my video course on Evidence for Life After Life, a professional counseling resource for the bereaved and the dying.
Transform the fear of death. Heal the pain of a loss by learning about life after life.
For more information and a free preview, visit www.drparisetti.com. That's drparisetti in one word.
Starseed Gems Studios in Cocoa, Florida fuses cremation ashes within art glass, making beautiful stones. The ashes are visible in the darkness and resemble a beautiful night sky. Starseed Gems, developed by the parents of a young man who passed away, are set in hand-sculpted silver and gold settings. Prices start at $150. Visit www.starseedgems.com or call 321-632-7770. That's www.starseedgems.com or 321-632-7770.
The American Association of Electronic Voice Phenomena has always been international and concerned with more than just EVP. To better serve the public, the AAEVP is now Association Transcommunication, or ATRANSC. Their new website is atransc.org, and their motto is Objective Evidence of Survival. The directors believe people should know that death is not dying, and what we learn now applies to what we will learn hereafter.
For years, people have been reporting communication from those no longer in our physical world. Historically, science and religion have taught us to ignore such messages. Yet, there is now substantial scientific evidence to the contrary. In response to this, the Forever Family Foundation has developed a sign registry to demonstrate the existence of this other dimension. On our website, people can register signs that they, after passing, plan on communicating to a specific loved one. Upon the registrant's passing, the stored information can be verified by the recipient of these signs. Participants will be taking part not only in a grand scientific experiment, but in providing the greatest gift of all, the knowledge that we survive our physical death. For more information, contact the Forever Family Foundation at 631-425-7707, or you can find us on the web at foreverfamilyfoundation.org. Or to register a sign, go directly to thesignregistry.com.
Welcome back to Signs of Life, brought to you by the Forever Family Foundation.
Welcome back to The Gathering on Signs of Life Radio. The number here is 1-888-627-6008, and we are talking about the spirit world and spirit communication and receiving messages from a higher source. Do we, you know, when I say receiving messages from a higher source, I mean, sometimes, not all messages come, what do we mean by higher source? I mean, if we're communicating with a deceased loved one, you could say that's a higher source. I mean, they're in a supposedly higher plane of existence than us. But when I think the connotation of a higher source means the a creator or the divine, you know. So, but not. I mean, some of the messages we get are pretty. They're just meant as evidence to let us know that they still exist, and other messages have deep meaning, you know. And so when we get that information and you get a message like that, I mean, you sit back and it gives you pause to really contemplate. And I know, Jeff, you certainly had some messages that you didn't understand at first, then they had tremendously deep meaning. And you could say that came from a higher source. I mean, you want to give an example of that?
Yeah, I'll give you an example in just a second. But when we're talking about, and this is, of course, all my own opinion and my own thinking, but when we're talking about communication, I don't think we're talking only about communication with beings who inhabit this world as human beings, that there are higher levels of being and that human beings don't exist in the world beyond this, as the only inhabitants. And so there may very well be guardians, beings of greater wisdom and understanding than we could possibly know. I tend to think that's the case. So when you do get a message, sometimes it's going to be from beings who are sometimes human and sometimes purely spiritual, and others who will never incarnate and are of quite a different order in terms of their understanding and intelligence. But with reference to yourself, in reference to myself, about 10 years ago, my wife and I lost our son, Gabriel. He was 21 years old at the time. And I remember, aside from the profound grief, was confusion. Because I felt that I was getting messages from him all the time, and in fact spent a good deal of time struggling with the notion that he could exist after he died, and felt myself conflicted. And I remember saying to myself that I'd rather live in hellish truth than in blissful ignorance. And that by that I meant that I'd rather come to grips with the fact that my son was dead, and that was that, than to comfort myself with the illusion that somehow he was communicating with me and that he was in a different plane of existence. And that was very, very hard for me to deal with that confusion, because I couldn't deny that there was wisdom coming to me. And so I wrote it down, and finally what I said to myself in writing it down was, let it come. Let it come and see what happens. If it's illusion, at some point, it will reveal itself. If it's truth, at some point, it will reveal itself. So I hit upon a plan. After quite a while, I'm writing quite a bit, and I said, Gabriel, if this is you, and not just me with some kind of soapbox wisdom trying to comfort myself, tell me something that I could never know by myself. Tell me something that I could never have come up with myself. And immediately I got a response, and it was very clear. I am red, the color red. And I thought, no, I laughed. I said, that's something I could not possibly have come up with. You are red. So I went right to the internet, looked up red, esoterics, looked up books by Steiner, looked up esoteric artists, couldn't find anything that really spoke to this notion of red. And about 2 to 3 weeks later, probably closer to three, I came downstairs one morning and I said to my wife, I guess I have been deluding myself because I can't get any sense of what this red could mean. About an hour later, a doorbell rang and there was a parcel post. And someone had sent us something, and we opened the envelope that was attached to the box, and it was from a woman who was a mother of a child in my wife's class. My wife is a teacher. And the woman wrote, I don't know why I bought this for you. I was coming by a store. I was walking by a store, and I saw this, and I heard kind of an inner voice. And it told me to buy this for you. I have no idea what it's about. I have no idea what you can do with it. If you'd like to put it in your attic, I won't take offense. And we ripped open the box, and there was a painting of a beautiful angelic figure all in red. Just a magnificent painting. And I began to cry. And Janet, my wife, said, Jeff, it's red. It's red. And I said, oh, I wish there was some explanation of why it's red. And Janet at that point said, there's something behind the picture. And it was a card from the artist. And the artist said, this painting in magenta, which is, I guess, the scientific name for red, this is done in this hue because red or magenta is the color in which, well, through which young people who have passed communicate. It is the level of their energy as we could perceive it within our color spectrum. So, how could I have made that up? Yeah. And it's just thinking about what you said before. The woman heard a voice, and she had no idea where it came from or what it meant, but she had a communication that obviously was transformative in my life.
And there are so many, there was a complete chain of events there. So we can say that that Gabriel orchestrated the whole thing. But Gabriel also may have had help from other spiritual, elevated beings that we think of it being orchestrated, but to them it must be quite a different manner. So there were so many things.
I love it that the spirit is meeting with like-minded individuals ready to pull off this caper.
Right.
Well, I think it's important to note a few things here that we've been talking about. when you talk about higher sources, a lot of people have the idea that we're alive, and when we die and go to heaven or wherever we go, that immediately we've got all-powerful, all-knowing, you know, we're spiritual, we know, you know, everything is revealed to us. And from the experiences I've witnessed and heard about, that's not the case. It's just another level, and that there are, as you get over there and as your soul grows, there are even higher levels still. One of the things that came to mind is a communication we got through a medium from my father after he passed. And we were having, at the time, having difficulty here in the physical world that he was concerned about, and he mentioned to the medium that he was appealing to higher powers to help us with our situation. So that's one indication that there are levels of higher powers. And then just recently, I had a reading, and my mom, who passed about 7 years after my dad, and it's only been about 3 years now since she's been gone, and hadn't really come through in any kind of readings in the last 3 years, came through pretty strongly in this one. And interestingly enough, she had my dad with her, who used throughout life and in the afterlife was the guy who came through and did all the talking, and she was happy to stand back. And the medium said that he usually does the talking, but she's more comfortable now with her situation, and he, my father, wanted to step back and let her come through now that she is more comfortable. So here's a 3-year period of whatever she's been doing on the other side where she's now comfortable enough to communicate back with me. And whereas I know that I've seen signs right away after people have passed, you know, for people who jump right into going to a medium, maybe, you know, give it a little time before you think you're going to get a real communication.
And you know, that's, Fran and I are always referring to testimony of life. And when the woman who came through and told her story communicated her immediate passing, it was almost like a baby being born. She awoke, she took in her surroundings, she went back to sleep. And this happened repeatedly. She awoke, she saw a little more of what was going on, and then she relaxed back into sleep. That sleep period could be almost that initial, the whole transition. I don't know the duration, but just sort of getting used to your new surroundings, taking in what's going on. And she was made aware of her options. She chose, I believe, to still be, was it an, she had been a nun, but I think it's almost like a counsel to people, or almost in nursing capacity. I'll have to reread
when
that.
When she was on the other side, that was the way she viewed her situation, was that she was there, her purpose there was to help people as they were crossing over. And that goes along with Blue Island, which is the account of the people who crossed over immediately when the Titanic went down. And that's the most interesting piece of information that I think people have to understand, is W.T. Stead said the most important thing that spirits on the other side who are there to help those who cross over, the very first thing is to get some sort of a message to the people they left behind in the physical world that they're okay.
You know, we constantly think about spirit, you know, contacting us, you know, and helping us. And it's something I got out of reading Steiner, was that, I mean, he felt that souls, people that have crossed over, they need nourishment in order for themselves to grow. And that nourishment comes from us still in the physical. And that nourishment usually comes from thoughts of love. And it usually occurs with people to whom they were connected. You know, those bonds are obviously, you know, very, very, very strong. And that's the way that we build this bridge, you know, to the spirit world. And we not only help ourselves, but help them by constantly, he talks about reading to them, you know, speaking to them, and just not out loud, but in, you know, these thoughts, and the love is tangible, and they recognize it. But there was something else that he said, was that that the nourishment, when we get to that point where he said mainly comes from those to whom we were connected, I don't quite get it, because if we're all connected, not only to each other, but to people in spirit, it would seem to me that that nourishment can come from any source. I mean, even if you weren't particularly connected to that person. It's a hard concept.
It's not only when someone is communicating, it's when someone is receiving a communication. And I think it's sometimes very difficult to make that communication without a sense of personal connection. The medium of communication, I believe, is love. That we are bound together in our love, and that's how the messages come across. It's through that. Now, we're all children of love. I think that ultimately, love is at the foundation of all things. But it's expressed most vividly in those around us, both in the physical world and in the spiritual world. And it's that expression that allows us to receive it. So I think it's always around us, but it's easier when we have a personal connection through love.
Yeah, I mean, Steiner also says that the earth has a spiritual purpose. And so his explanation is that, you know, we as humans radiate knowledge to the spirit world that can only be gained from the physical experience. And he also says knowledge of spiritual worlds can arise only on Earth. So what does that mean to you?
If I'm talking too much, people call in and tell me to be quiet.
Wife on the line.
Bring home milk.
Okay. This is related to what we were talking about before. You have to ask, if spirits are communicating with us, and it's a higher realm of existence from which they're communicating, why do we incarnate at all? If being dead confers wisdom, then why would we seek to be less wise? Why would we seek to be in a position where wisdom eludes us? And I think what Steiner is saying is that there is a purpose in incarnation, and that purpose, I think, relates back to what I was saying before, that we have to, of ourselves, develop the capacity to be loving beings. That the possibility of being loving exists within us. The source that is at the core of our being is love, but it has to unfold. It has to be developed. And if it's readily apparent, if everything were there in front of you, it would be like giving a person the opportunity to have everything physically, but they never have to move. They never have to develop. You know, when you develop yourself physically, it's generally through stress. When you lift weights, when you run, you're tearing muscle, only for it to be stronger as a result of you repairing it through your own activity. And I think that we separate ourselves, but it's only through that experience of separation, which is, as you said before, false in a sense, but the experience of it, where we, of our own effort, have to try to cross the bridge back to the checkout person or to those we love. The earth is a school where we can learn lessons that we could not learn if we weren't stressed, if we weren't put in a position where we have to grow of our own volition.
You didn't say, do you think that's only on Earth? I mean, do you think that there might be other Earths?
Well, I think there may be many, many other schools, but I think for one of the reasons, maybe the prime reason we're here on this Earth, is to develop the capacity to love. And so, you don't develop that if everything's given to you.
So yeah. If people in spirit can feel
our love, the opposite must be true too. They must also be able to feel our hate, and mm-hmm. so does our hate impede people in spirit in some way?
Or us?
Well, it definitely impedes us.
Yeah.
I like what Jeff said, and it makes absolute sense that the stress is what we use to grow. But of course, like with anything, too much of it mm-hmm. can also be a poison, and hate adds to the poison, and love adds to the growth.
Okay, you can think of it this way. There is an esoteric thread in Judaism, we'll just say Kabbalism, and there's or Orthodox Judaism more generally as well. There's a notion of angels that exists only in Judaism, that it doesn't exist anywhere else in any religion. And I say that because Houston Smith, who was one of the great world's great theologians, told me that personally, that he studied religions all over the world, and this is the only place where angels are described in the way I'm going to describe it at the moment. He said that for every good thought, every good deed, everything that emanates from love actually creates angels. Hmm. And that those angels do bubble up into worlds of spirit. They actually ascend not only into the physical world and affect other people around us, but up into higher worlds. And conversely, for everything that we do is selfish and is really guided in a destructive way, we create negative angels. And they also bubble up and create confusion. They create darkness for the world around us. A nice, simple way of thinking about that is imagine yourself driving in a car, and you get cut off by the person, you cut off somebody. You cut them off intentionally because you're stressed. So you cut them off. What have you? You just pissed off the guy behind you now, who then will not only be cursing you, but he's going to make sure that the person on his right can't make the turn into his lane. And the person on the right can't make the turn into his lane. It's equally upset and comes home and yells at his kids. And so it's a chain of events. On the other hand, you let someone in and smile. Hey, the world is good. It doesn't always transform itself that readily. But every time you forget to say something to the checkout person and treat him or her with respect, I think it diminishes their sense of being. And to a certain extent, will carry over to the way they feel about themselves and the way they treat others. Every time you greet someone with recognition of the spirit within them, I think you help to ennoble them and to raise the spirit higher here and in worlds beyond.
I also feel that Bob mentioned something before from the book that the spirit feeds on our love. And I think that, to me, when you ask about, well, what's the meaning of life here, and I think that is what we have in this universe that is unique in the sense that we can create love, and exactly the way Jeff had just described it, if we choose to go that way. And why do people incarnate? You know, in a way, we're farmers. We're going back to till the soil and foster love, create love, start the ball rolling on love so that the rest of spirit can feed off of it. And I think that is really our main purpose here, and to love and create love and spread as much love as possible.
And be nice to check out people. Right. We're going to go to a break. When we come back, we will be talking more about the spirit world. Stay with us. We'll be back in a few.
Has your marketing pitch been missing the strike zone? Maybe you need a new player to help your marketing efforts. At LNRProductions.com, you'll find a team that can give your broadcast advertising the winning edge. LNR Productions has produced award-winning jingles, radio, and television commercials for many businesses just like yours.
Radio and television advertising work, but you need the right game plan. Make sure you're getting the most out of your ad every time it airs. www.lndrproductions.com. We'll throw strikes for your business every time.
Hello, I am Lloyd Auerbach, parapsychologist and author. You can learn much more about life after death, precognition, mind-matter interactions, remote viewing, ghost hunting, and other psychic experiences and research through the acclaimed Distance Learning Parapsychological Studies program at HCH Institute. Our courses are audio-based with additional written and video material. Call HCH at 925-283-3941 or visit www.hypnotherapytraining.com. Our courses include The Search for Life After Death, Being Psychic, Psychokinesis and Precognition, Ghost Hunting, Theories and Models of Psychic Experience, and more. Taken singly or as part of the certificate program, these courses will enrich your knowledge of parapsychology and the range of psychic phenomena. You'll learn about being psychic yourself. Visit www.hypnotherapytraining.com or call 925-283-3941 for information about our individual distance learning courses and certificate program.
It is with great pleasure that we announce the formation of the Winbridge Institute for Applied Research in Human Potential. Dr. Julie Beischel, Director of Research at Winbridge and one of the premier investigators in the field of mediumship research, reports that the team at Winbridge will continue pursuing the many unanswered questions that remain in the field of afterlife science. Please go to www.windbridge.org to learn more about this groundbreaking research institute. That's www.windbridge.org.
The American Association of Electronic Voice Phenomena has always been international and concerned with more than just EVP. To better serve the public, the AAEVP is now Association Transcommunication, or ATRANSC. Their new website is atransc.org, and their motto is Objective Evidence of Survival. The directors believe people should know that death is not dying, and what we learn now applies to what we will learn hereafter.
For years, people have been reporting communication from those no longer in our physical world. Historically, science and religion have taught us to ignore such messages. Yet, there is now substantial scientific evidence to the contrary. In response to this, the Forever Family Foundation has developed a sign registry to demonstrate the existence of this other dimension. On our website, people can register signs that they, after passing, plan on communicating to a specific loved one. Upon the registrant's passing, the stored information can be verified by the recipient of these signs. Participants will be taking part not only in a grand scientific experiment, but in providing the greatest gift of all, the knowledge that we survive our physical death. For more information, contact the Forever Family Foundation at 631-425-7707, or you can find us on the web at foreverfamilyfoundation.org. Or to register a sign, go directly to thesignregistry.com.
Welcome back to Signs of Life, brought to you by the Forever Family Foundation.
Welcome back to the gathering on Signs of Life Radio. We're talking about the spirit world. We're talking about communication. You hear it said a lot that the people, our loved ones in the spirit world, you know, feel our grief. It's like a tangible energy. And some even mention or propose that we somehow hold them back, you know, by our grief. And then it raises the question of, Do they feel the sorrow that we feel? Are they grieving for us because they're watching us, you know, grieve? And of course, we know those that are able to communicate and have this inner knowing that there is life after physical death seem to have a better or better able to navigate, you know, through grief. So, I mean, do you think that people grieve in the spirit world? Is there such a thing?
I don't know if there is, but I know that there is grief in this world. and that those who have passed, at least, and I'll tell you a story how I come to this, see some of them see our grief as so fundamentally unnecessary, because it would be almost like watching a child fall down and cry. You really do want, we hold the child, we tell the child, come on, get back up and walk. And I think that's very often what they want to tell us. Yes, you've fallen down, but you're on a path that's far greater, far more meaningful than you understand. So try to get up and walk. And I'll tell you why I said it's two stories. One, about 2 or 3 months after my son Gabriel passed, I was in his room grieving. It was late at night. The room was dark. And I began to see at the foot of his bed a light. And I thought how peculiar the light was. And I thought perhaps a moonbeam or it was reflecting off a puddle or a street light was reflecting off a car windshield. And I looked at the light more and I said, no, then that would be on the wall. It wouldn't be suspended in the air. And then I looked a little further and I thought, well, maybe there's particulate matter in the air and that that's what I'm seeing illuminated. And I realized that even if that were the case, there wasn't such dense particulate matter that it wouldn't still be on the wall. The beam of light would go right through it and I'd see more than just this freestanding orb. And I realized that it was freestanding. And I watched it for a few moments and I thought, oh my God, that's my son. That's my son. And I watched it. And for about a minute or so, it was there, about a foot and a half high, foot wide, slightly golden in color. And then it disappeared. I went and I told my wife what I'd seen. I said, I think I just saw Gabriel. It had a profound effect on me, but I didn't know what it was. So a few months later, we went to see a medium, and I've only seen two in my life. But I wanted to see what it was all about. And this particular medium, in the middle of saying things, telling us things, said, your son is telling me that you saw him, and that you saw him as a glowing light in a dark room, and you didn't know it was him, but he wanted me to tell you it was. And that just floored me. Mm. It just floored me that because we had not spoken to anyone about this. This is not something you would have known. And it's not even anything I was thinking about at the moment. So somewhile later, I had the confidence to actually speak with Gabriel. And I was able to do so for a while. I can't do it any longer. And I said, Gabriel, why is it that you showed yourself to me as this orb of light? Why didn't you show yourself to me as an apparition where I could say, ah, there you are. I recognize you. I know who you are. And he kind of laughed, and he said, you will always grieve. That is not why I came to you. I came to you, and you get the very distinct sense it was from higher wisdom, because I'm supposed to teach you a lesson. I said, what's the lesson? He said, the light that you saw is in everyone. There's a golden light in everyone, and we're all the same. So when I look at people now, I see with my imagination, not with any kind of literal sense, that same light in the middle of people's chests and recognize that that's really there, that there is a light within each of us that we don't recognize, and that's the light that continues after death. And that's the lesson. He wants me to share that, so I did, and I do. And a second experience I had with him was I said to him one night, and I had different kinds of communication. We talked about that early on, different kinds of communication. I said, Gabriel, I'm going to go to sleep. I just intuitively felt that this was the way to work it. And I said, I'm going to go to sleep tonight, but I'd like you to tell me something. If there's one thing you want me to know about life on Earth, what is it? So I went to sleep. And I had a dream, kind of a standard every night kind of dream. And in the middle of it, I had a lightning bolt of thought. And I can say that it was a pure thought. It didn't require words. It was a pure thought. And it had absolutely nothing to do with the dream. And I said, remember this. Remember this. This is the answer to the question. Remember this. And when I woke up, I remembered it. And what he said was, all the world is sacred, and life on earth is a sacred gift. And what he was saying to me is that you don't, Dad, don't waste your life in grief. Accept the gift that God has given you, that you are on this earth, and use it well.
Yeah, we crying. It's beautiful.
And you know, and that is something that we often discuss. In that, I mean, I think about it all the time, especially when I was in my own grief. Was that so? If all of this is true, you know, and you know, death is just an illusion, and we find ourselves still awake. I mean, the first thing that I'm going to say, you know, when I cross over, or the feeling I'm going to have is, crap, you know, I wasted 40 years of my life with this grieving stuff when I could have been showing compassion and love and going after different things that my heart desires, you know. So, and that's something that I think we all should think about, you know, when all people in grief, you know, if what we think is true and what we know is true, what a waste, you know, especially if this physical existence is supposed to be sacred, right?
Can grief ever be productive?
Well, you know, I used to punch people when they used to say, well, look, you know, look at you, you know, you're helping people, you know, and I would just think, I just want my daughter back, you know. I mean, you know, I mean, yeah, I mean, I can step back and maybe you can see the big picture, but when you're in the throes of grief, you're not really open to the possibility that the grief, that you can grow from it. But what you say is true. I mean, you can grow from grief, and I think that growth comes from your seeking meaning, you know, and you things that you never contemplated before. And I think that's where the growth comes from.
So you mentioned Steiner before. One of the things that Steiner wrote was that wisdom is crystallized pain. Hmm. Wisdom is crystallized pain, and grief is as painful as it gets. So it really is an opportunity to develop wisdom. And for those of us, you know, I think it's all of us really, have lost loved ones, you know that when someone needs someone they can turn to, they will often turn to you because they'll say, you understand. And they feel like you're a rock. You can help them through it.
Okay, well, I think what we learned tonight, the two things, one, don't waste your life grieving, and two, be nice to check out people.
Yes.
And with that...
Even if they put the bread on the bottom.
And the turkey with the...
They may be enlightened souls.
Or a wonderful... All right. Well, then, it's time for us to ask our listeners to please join us in our Healing Energy Circle prayer. May the universe create a channel of healing energy from our participating listeners, sending that energy to those who are in need of recovery of the physical body, spirit, and mind, as we visualize the healing light upon Leanne Ashley, David Mello, Phyllis Alexander, Betty Alexander, Ann Hutchinson, John Kahali, Henry Stark, Johnny Jackson, Kimberly Saavedra, Rachel S., Jeanette Davies, Andy O'Brien, Tanya Cash, Miriam Pierzga, Laura Prisco, Stanley Mullen, Julie B., Glenna Irwin, Barbara Patillo, David Haith, Rita Springer, Eileen Lafada, Mark Varon, Wendy Lippo, Vicky Steffi, Barbara Russell, Tim Donahue, Francis Mastracco, Jean Lash, Joelle Orman, Philip McPhee, Tracy Lee Nash, Rita Dwyer, Gina DiDonato, Magnus Scott, and Treb. And now it's time for us to say... Now let us, as one consciousness, give our energy of loving thought by praying like this. To love one another, to treat others as we would like to be treated, to forgive others and return love for hate, kindness for anger, to spread this feeling to everyone, to our fellow man, as well as the earth and its environment. Now it's time to say, Our loved ones are only a heartbeat away.
And?
Science is going to prove it.
Good night, everyone.